Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Clones, welcome back to the Daily Jungle. Lots to get to today, starting with that huge bullet that the Giants and Odell Beckham Jr. dodged last night. You'll get my thoughts on that and whether or not it was a dirty hit. Tiger Woods also back in the news after hackers leaked nude photos of him and his ex-girlfriend, Lindsey Vonn. And as you might imagine, you clones did what you clones do, and Sarah Jessica Parker enjoyed yesterday's solar eclipse. Why that was show fodder is beyond me. Pretty much goes back to what you clones do. Plus, some great guests as always. So lots to get to, Alvy. Let's not waste any time. Now you do what you do, Alvy. Let me start with ODB. Odell Beckham Jr. had himself a day yesterday, didn't he? He started the day out by posting a video of himself appearing to stare directly at the solar eclipse with the caption, quote, "Man, y'all tripping. Where the eclipse at? Me and Brad Wing can't find it nowhere." And then in the video, he's shown blinking and squinting and rubbing his eyes. It was on Instagram. You may have seen it. He's already taken it down. But it shows him looking right at it. And he's asking, where's the eclipse at? So if the possibility of permanent vision loss to OBJ weren't enough to give the Giants fans a collective heart attack, then what happened in last night's game was, early in the second quarter against the Browns, he elevates to catch an Eli Manning pass and then was cut down by Cleveland corner Briam Bode Calhoun. Not good.
First and 10 at the Browns 42. Eye set, dark with a tailback. Manning back to throw. Zips one right for Beckham, makes the catch, and then gets cut down at the knees at the 24-yard line. And Odell, not pleased with that hit. Gain of 18. Takes his helmet off.
Yeah, he's wincing a bit.
Limping a little bit. And the Giants can ill afford anything bad happening to Odell Beckham Jr.
That's Giants radio. And uh-oh! That did not look good, did it? Did not look good in the moment, and it looked even worse when he was slow to get up. He spins the ball, he rips off his helmet, he walks off the field. And then it looked even worse yet when he collapsed to his knees in the tunnel on the way back to the locker room. So at that point, Giants fans were freaking out, reaching for bleach cocktails. Because if there is no Beckham, there is no season. And yes, I am well aware that Beckham's got a reputation for being a little overly dramatic. But admit it, even if you weren't a Giants fan, you had to be a little bit worried when you saw him face down in the tunnel. It's not like he thought all the cameras were on him then. Turns out it was not nearly as bad as it looked, at least not yet. X-rays were negative. It's been ruled a sprained ankle. There might be some further tests. You know, maybe, possibly, that might turn something else up. But as it stands right now, that's where it is, a sprained ankle. But that did not stop Giants fans from losing their minds on Twitter, insisting it was an illegal hit, a dirty hit, and that this is why you do not play your starters in the second quarter of a preseason game. Why don't we start from the top? The hit was not illegal. It simply was not illegal. It just wasn't. That's a perfectly legal hit. Now, let's not confuse legal with not being dirty, and we'll get to that in a minute. But it was legal. Nasty, but legal. Now, was the hit dirty? I guess it depends on who you're asking. But if you can't go high and you can't go low, there aren't too many other places to go. As far as Beckham, somebody posed the question to him, do you think it's a dirty hit? And he said, quote, just football. But Giants safety and his teammate Landon Collins disagreed. And he said he told Bode Calhoun as much. Quote, I said he was wrong for what he did. He said it is what it is. I'm going to say it just like this. I couldn't have a teammate next to me playing that way. I can't condone it. It's nothing I seek. He had the opportunity to go out and make a different route. That's how I feel about it. It's not a penalty, but everybody knows that's something you can't do. End of quote. So Collins obviously feels like it's legal, but it's dirty. Yeah, I see where this guy's coming from now. I see where he's coming from. And it does mean a lot coming from one of the best safeties in the game. And if I were him, and I just saw my teammate nearly get destroyed, and my Super Bowl hopes right along with it, I'd probably be saying the same thing. But I'm not his teammate. And I'm not that close to it. And I'm not so sure that that was dirty. I mean, when I think dirty means intent to injure. And I'm not sure that he had an intent to injure. Yes, he went low. But part of that is because Beckham went high. And then the two of them met in a really bad spot for Beckham. You know, the other component here is the preseason. There is a preseason component to all of this. If this were a regular season game or a playoff game, would anybody say that that was a dirty hit? Probably not. But because it is the preseason, the optics are bad. It looks bad. And I also get that. Except preseason football is still football. And as big of a joke as the preseason is right now, it would be an even bigger joke if these guys were running around in red jerseys. Your star players have to take a hit or two. I'm not saying you want to play them all four quarters, but you can't not play them. They do need some reps and even some hits. It's a dangerous game. It's a dangerous game, and it sucks when you lose a star receiver in August, like the Packers and Jordy Nelson, or the Panthers and Kelvin Benjamin. But when you step on a football field, bad things can happen. Everybody knows that. Even guys who stare at the eclipse and then take down their gram. So in the end, ODB leaves that game. Brandon Marshall left that game, which is not good either, because he needs as much time as he can get to learn a new system and get on the same page with a new quarterback. And then the run game for the Giants looks as bad now as it did last season, if not worse. And they lost to the Browns. So all in all, a pretty terrible night for the Giants. But it could have been so much worse. Their season could have ended before it even started. But short of any further tests showing anything worse for Beckham, at least they dodged that bullet. Now, about that offensive line, and about that running game, and about whether or not it was a dirty hit, somebody posed the question to Ben McAdoo, the head coach. Not like he was going to answer it.
If he can play, he'll play. If he can play, he'll play. I can't answer that question right now.
Did you have a problem with the hit?
It's football. It's, you know, you can't hit a guy high. You can't hit a guy low. You try to hit him in the middle. You know, it was one of those balls that Eli had to drive it, and he left his feet. It's a tough play for a DB.
I think it's a pretty honest answer. That's exactly how I see it. It's tough. I've got a certain amount of empathy for DBs and for defensive players. You can't go high, and you don't want to go low, but then the wide receiver leaves his feet. So it just was a bad, bad spot for Beckham to be in. So I think that it was legal. I think that it's in the neighborhood of dirty, but it's not dirty. That's where I come out. Where do you come out? What do you think about that play? What do you think about that? Should he have been out there in the second quarter? What do you think about preseason football? And if you're a Giants fan, how scared were you when you saw that go down? And they've got other issues once again. Harold Landry, preseason All-American, joins us. And you had a huge year last year where you led the nation in sacks and forced fumbles. There was never any doubting your potential. But a lot of guys have potential, and there aren't too many who end up who lead the country in sacks and fumbles. So when you look back on last season, what kind of thoughts do you have, and what changed the most about your game?
I would say just my overall athletic ability. I thought I came on the scene my sophomore season. I thought I had a decent sophomore year, but I think going into the summer before my junior season, I decided to stay at BC rather than go home for the month we had off, and I just stayed up here and trained the whole time. And I wanted to take my athletic ability to a whole nother level. And the coaching staff here did an amazing job with me. And I think, I just became more explosive. Also adding that with the coaching from Coach Pasqualoni, my position coach, you put all that together, you know, something great's about to happen. And, you know, luck of the draw, you know, I produced the numbers I produced. I was able to help my team out the best way I could. And, you know, it's paying off for me individually as well.
All right, I'm glad you mentioned Coach Pasqualoni. That's Paul Pasqualoni. And he's somebody who's been coaching for a long, long time. So he's pretty well set in his ways about how things should be done. As an example, there's a story from your first meeting with him where you break out a notebook, you pick up a pencil, and you get ready to take notes. And then he lights into you for having a tiny pencil, like a golf pencil, instead of a regular standard pencil. What did you think when he did that?
I honestly didn't know what to think. I was just thinking, man, this guy's really all business, really professional. I was so shocked when that happened because, I don't know, just like he's changed the culture in that room since he arrived and for the better. You know, he expects his guys to treat the game like a pro. Coming from the pros, and he just expects the most out of his guys. And, you know, ever since he's got here, it's better. It's made my game better. Obviously, in the meeting rooms and on the field. So, yeah, he's definitely helped me out tremendously.
You know, one more thing about him. Obviously, he's also into the very technical aspects of the position, things like heel clicks and false steps. As an example, what's a heel click, and why is that something that you want to avoid?
It's when the blocker in front of you is going lateral. He's either trying to cut you off or he's either trying to get to your outside shoulder, and you're going lateral as well. You can't bring your feet together. You have to stay on the inside balls of your feet and go left, right, and, you know, just keep your feet pushing and staying on the inside balls. You can't bring your feet together because as soon as you bring your feet together, that's what we call heel clicking, when your feet end up together, you could get unbalanced and it's easier for the blocker to either push you back or push you down. So, yeah, that would be a heel click.
I appreciate you breaking that down. Harold Landry, my guest. Now, you were coming off a monster season last year. You could have entered the draft early, but you decided to come back instead. What was that decision process like for you, and then what made you decide to return?
Yeah, it was definitely a difficult process. I would say that's why it took me pretty long to come up with my decision. You know, a lot of people close to me wanted me to declare, but after a while, after thinking about it, it was definitely best for me to come back. And yeah, I decided to come back because, well, for one, I get my degree in December. Coming in early as a freshman definitely has helped me out a lot. So I'll get my degree right after this football season, be able to go train for the combine and have that in my back pocket already. Won't have to worry about a semester being left over. And also, you know, when we went to a bowl game last year, we didn't experience that the year before. So I sort of forgot, like, how much fun it was, like, achieving that success with my boys and, like, just seeing all the hard work we put in and seeing it pay off and actually winning the bowl game. It was, like, one of the funnest moments of my life, just being with my boys out there actually competing and being successful on the field. And I just think that there's so much more meat left on the bone for this team. I thought it was important for me and for this program for me to come back and help lead this team to greater heights than it achieved last season. The way we ended last season, going 3-0 and then going into the bowl game, it definitely has paid off for this program. And leading into summer workouts and then into preseason camp, we're definitely carrying the momentum right now, and I'm looking forward to just leading this team to greater heights this season.
Good for you. That's cool. All right, so in terms of meat on the bone, your teammates and coaches all say they know exactly where they were when they heard the news that you were coming back. The team's coming off a bowl win, as you point out. So what kind of expectations do you have for this season?
I think we have a great chance this season to show the BC community and BC fans that the football program is actually back. Our schedule is set up perfectly. I think we have, the ninth ranked hardest schedule in college football. So there's plenty of opportunities, plenty of showcase games this year for us to showcase the ability that, you know, we've been working for all offseason and even last season. But, you know, right now we're just focused on Friday night at Northern Illinois. It's going to be a big-time game, national TV. We just got to start off 1-0 and then just take it each week at a time and just go 1-0 each week and everything will fall into place.
You know, one last thought. Back in June, you celebrated your birthday by also welcoming the arrival of a son, Grayson. You could not ask for a better birthday gift than that. How is Grayson doing and what's it like being a father?
It's amazing. But yeah, he's doing great. He's about 10 and a half months old. Actually, 10 and a half weeks old. But yeah, he's doing great. He's definitely on the bigger side of being where he's at right now and how old he is. But yeah, he's a pretty big baby. It was definitely difficult for me at first. You know, my fiance, she was automatically awesome at doing the mom job. But it definitely took me some time to figure out the diaper change and the night routine and all of that. But yeah, it's an amazing feeling. Like, even when, like, you know, he'll either, like, throw up on you or, you know, you just change his diaper and he'll poop right after you change the diaper. You know, seeing him smile is just an amazing feeling. Even when she sends me videos all day, every day, just seeing him smile is just such an amazing feeling.
You're part of a huge fraternity right now, my man. You're now part of that group, and it's all true. Now, you might not say the same thing if it was somebody else's kid who was pooping and throwing up on you, but when it's your own, it's all good. It's all good. Boston College opening up against Northern Illinois. That's coming up September 1st, 9:30 p.m. Their preseason All-American defensive end, Harold Landry, my guest. Harold, you crushed it. Great job. I appreciate also tweeting the picture of you doing the interview. That's always a great plan. It's great to have you on the show, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Email.
Romulus, they should rip every green jacket and every major championship from Tiger today. He's clearly been playing with 15 clubs his whole career. Hey-o! Kyle in Albuquerque, and there are several hundred others like that. Just as I might be the only actual native of Southern California living in Southern California, I'm probably the only one listening to this show right now that didn't go looking for those picks. And I didn't, and I won't. But I know you clones have, because I'm reading your emails and I'm seeing your tweets. And the only way that you would email me something like that is if you did. And you know you did. Just as you know I didn't. Nor am I going to. Got no interest. I'm not going to go looking for that. Come on, Rome. You know. No. I know. I know I won't. If there's one thing that I can promise each and every last one of you, is that I'm not going to go looking for that pick. Or any of the other celebrities who had their privates put out there. So again, Woods is back in the news. And shock of all shocks, it's got nothing to do with golf, according to TMZ. Not that you don't know the story already, but Tiger Woods, Lindsey Vonn, and a few others are part of the latest wave of hacked nude picks. Hacked nude shots. Yep. Eldrick, Lindsey, and Catherine McPhee, among others, are all threatening legal action against those who stole the picks and then anybody who posts the picks. And by the way, as well they should. According to TMZ, the picks were stolen off of Vonn's phone and after they had been exchanged when they were dating. So let's just go ahead and recap Tiger's year quickly. DUI, pill addiction, and now leaked nudes. That is the triple crown of misery. The guy who used to run off one major after another is now running off one major scandal after another. Seriously, this was the guy that was going to run down Jack. This was the guy that everybody was convinced would not only take down the Golden Bear, but blow right by him. Not a question of if, but by how many. Remember that discussion. Instead, you know what this looks like? It sounds more like the rap sheet of a former boy bander or a failed mouseketeer than the guy who is going to become the greatest golfer ever. Sounds more like he should be hanging with Lindsay Lohan than Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player. Shia LaBeouf, maybe. I mean, you read that resume, and it does feel like a child star who freaked out and melted down in the spotlight as an adult. And that's kind of what he's looking like right now. Somebody who burned really bright and really hot as a kid, lived a really weird life from a very young age, and now that it's over, he's having a really hard time adjusting. Now, any other guy, and we'd be saying, whoa, this dude's in major trouble. Major trouble. But the crazy thing about this is, Tiger has fallen so far that when we hear something like this, we just kind of shrug. Yeah, and? It was not long ago that there was a report about leaked Tiger nudes, and that would lead the show, and then it would be the entire show. Now it's practically a shoulder shrug and a, hey, it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Happens to us all.
Happens to us all.
Except it doesn't happen. And it definitely doesn't happen to us all. This all seems to happen to this guy. There was a time, as I mentioned, where everything he touched turned to gold, where he could do nothing wrong, but ever since he wrapped that car around that tree and napped it out in the street, everything he touches turns right to crap, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. Now, the latest thing here, I gotta say, really isn't his fault. I'm not surprised that he's in this position, but this time it really isn't his fault. He and Lindsey Vonn are actually victims here because some scumbag or scumbags stole from them. It's a despicable crime. And all the blame for it goes to the degenerate who perpetrated it. Not Tiger Woods, not Lindsey Vonn. And I know the argument that if he's a celebrity and he doesn't want nude shots or junk shots to get out there, then he shouldn't take nude shots or junk shots. You know, at this point I have to say, whatever. He didn't leak the pics, neither did she, allegedly. This was a crime. And if somebody broke into his house and they stole a TV set, nobody would be saying, if he didn't want his TV stolen, he shouldn't have bought a TV. So, while the blame for the DUI, the toxicology report, as long as a 9-iron, oh, and speaking of which, have you looked at that toxicology report lately? Google up Dilaudid. Google that up. I think that that stuff, and that's one of the drugs that he was on, I think that stuff is for people who have their limbs cut off and their hips replaced. I mean, seriously, what that guy had in him that night probably would have killed just about anybody else. So he's skating on that. That's on him. So is the sex addiction and pretty much everything else, but not this. This one does not lie with him. It doesn't mean that it's not surprising, because it's not surprising at all. But it's not his fault. The only surprise here is that it is no surprise. But I don't blame him. Some scumbag got into her phone. So I'm going to cut him a little bit of slack there. In terms of the other part of the conversation, if you can have this conversation without talking about how many clubs he has in his bag, that'd be awesome.
Emails.
Dear Jim, Tiger is threatening to sue anyone who even looks at his leaked nudes. That's a completely adequate response. Yours? Sarah Jessica Parker watching the eclipse. I don't imagine that you've got that lying around, do you, Avi?
Oh my God, there it is! There it is! We got you guys! Oh my God, it's happening! And lightning! And birds that are rarely ever seen! Oh my God!
I don't have my
gun. Oh my God, you guys! Oh my God!
Dolly!
Oh my God! I wish you all were here! Oh, lightning from, oh my God. This is the most spectacular, unimaginably perfect, beautiful.
Wow.
Sarah, it's the freaking moon. I mean, was that an episode of Sex and the City? No, that was a real thing. That was really her. That was really Sarah Jessica Parker watching the eclipse and reacting like that. That wasn't Sex and the City or Sex and the Street or... or Sex on a Boat.
This is the most spectacular.
Or a 12-year-old winning the spelling bee.
Unimaginably.
That was Sarah Jessica Parker, probably pushing 50 and seeing an eclipse. This guy wars. This is the most spectacular, unimaginably perfect, beautiful, unwar Ferris Bueller ending up with this eclipse goober over Sloan Peterson.
This is the most spectacular,
unimaginably
perfect.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Wow. Easy, Sarah. Let's check out the phones. It's Huntington Beach. Got to stop at Huntington Beach. Silk. Hey, Silk, what's going on?
Hey, bro. How you doing, Jimmy?
Uh-oh. I'm good, Silk. What's up with you?
I'm just living the dream. Hey, I picked up Tom Brady's new diet book. I dropped 75 pounds. Come on.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
He got run because that was not Silk. That was the fake Silk. In SLC, did not make it on for the smack off, but he jumps in right here. We go from the fake Silk to the fake Silk. Zach, what's up?
Yo, Romy, I've had about 8 Red Bulls this morning, and your boy's feeling lit. I hope your trip to the Malfi Coast was epic, or at least as epic as my smack-off call would have been if it ever saw the light of day. But it's all good, Romy. I performed it for my neighbor, and he said it was dope. Matt in Vancouver's mom said it was 100% grade-A smack. But don't think I haven't seen all you clones popping off on Twitter about how I didn't get into the smack off. Even Mike and Indy tweeted out calling my flow weak smack. Oh yeah, Mike? Well, your t-shirts suck. Who would even buy those things? Oh, I know. The same people who bought the 2017 Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl runner-up t-shirts. Oh, you gonna tell me that the NBA was shipping out straight stacks of the Cleveland tees after they got punked by the Warriors? I bet Team Iceland tees were flying off the shelves after they got their ass kicked by Gordon Bombay and the Mighty Ducks. When you said limited edition, did you mean 3? One for you, your mom, and Josh in Detroit, all straight up losers. And for the rest of you trolls on Twitter that I haven't responded to, I only have one thing to say to you chumps.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Zach and SLC, don't bother racking that call, Alvin.
Twitter!
Sarah Jessica Parker. H.A. Perez tweets, SJP is a topic again on the Jim Rome Show, and all is right with the world. All may be right with the world, but it's not because of that. Because she's not a topic on this show. You clones saying so does not make it so. It's not a topic until I say it's a topic, and it's not a topic. She's not a topic. Somebody brought it up and said, did you hear her or reference the way she reacted to the eclipse yesterday?
We made it. Oh, my God. We saw it. Matthew, yes, exactly.
It's so humbling. It's so extraordinary.
Oh, wow, I got to tell you something. I didn't even see this. This just hit me. The only thing more incredible than me having to tell this guy that SJP is not a topic is this guy's a journo. He writes for USA Today. Freaking AJ Perez. All right, so this was not some random clone or Dan in Denver or one of you random knuckleheads coming with this. This is a respected journo who went with that. AJ, my man, you are a respected journalist with USA Today. You're supposed to be a role model to the clones. They're supposed to look up to you. You're not supposed to stoop to their level. AJ, are you kidding me? You're better than this, my man. You are so much better than this. You're a respected journo.
It's
ordinarily,
so humbling.
I would be thrilled with a journo hitting me up on this show about any topic, but not for that. I mean, AJ, hell, bro, I don't even know you anymore. Are you kidding?
Oh, my God.
SJP is the topic again on the Jim Rome Show, and all is right with the world. This guy works for USA Today, and he said that. Proof to clones and even really intelligent clones and pedigreed accomplished clones cannot handle certain topics. Rich Micklebust. SJP was so excited. I'm happy she's happy. Normally, she has such a long face.
It doesn't make any sense.
The Mianopan tweets, actually, Rome, that was SJP when they put the roses around her neck after she won the Derby. She not only has never won the Derby, she's never been in the Derby.
It's so
maybe
humbling.
She's been to the Derby, but she's never run in the Derby. Do you know why that is? They don't let humans run in that race. Only horses. Only horses. You need to be a 3-year-old horse to run the Kentucky Derby. They do not let human beings run in that race. So, Mianopan, that's not true. But it's not just on Twitter. I'm getting the same sort of garbage on email. Jimmo, what the hell did you expect? Did you not see videos of all the other animals at the zoo freaking out during the eclipse? Conspiracy confirmed, she's a horse.
It doesn't make any sense.
You had your fun now. Are you done? Because I am. Are you done? Because I am. David Cutcliffe is my guest. David, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. I am doing well, and I heard the black belt part. So are you a preview fight on Saturday night? Is that what is happening?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to have me fight on the undercard, David, because there's no shortage of people that want to punch me in the face. But no I'm not going to be there, but I'll be watching it for sure. And I appreciate you taking that all in. Let me start here. You talked about how this might be the most talented and deepest team that you've had during your time at Duke. You've got some youth as well. So what have you seen in fall camp in terms of how close that talent is to taking the next step?
Well, we've been kind of just that. We have shown incredible sparks, some longer than others, but 42% of our scholarship roster are either redshirt freshmen or true freshmen. So I'm not going to say inconsistent, but not as consistent as we would like. But this team can run. It's very deep as opposed to teams we've had here in the past. So I like the competition. That's been good for us.
David Cutcliffe joining us. You've always struck me as somebody who's incredibly self-aware. As an example, I would say this. You're coming off a season where things didn't necessarily go according to plan, and one of the things that you said is that you probably could pick 10 reasons why it didn't go well. Quote, but the biggest one, and I mean this sincerely, is that I didn't have our team as ready as it needed to be, end quote. So what do you mean by that? And when you look back on last season, how does that impact the way you approach this season?
Well, it's impacted it a great deal. What I think I did a poor job of was maturing our team. I think I took for granted that our team understood how to deal with adversity, that we had enough older people. I liked our captains, but we really didn't grow our team and mature it as we should have. I shouldn't say we. I take full credit for that. I put the practice schedule together, the approach, et cetera. And I just didn't think our team handled adversity very well, particularly early. That falls right on the head coach. So we have been through, I would call it a grind. And I intentionally have put them under a great deal of adversity, and to be honest with you, probably the staff doesn't love me right now, but that's okay. Hopefully we're doing everything we can to have ourselves prepared.
You know, I had Harold Landry from Boston College on the show earlier today, and we talked about the fact that on one recruiting visit from BC, one of his dogs bit an assistant coach. Now, you've got a million stories like that probably, but I know one in particular, when you were an assistant in Tennessee, you made a home visit to a recruit and a cockroach was crawling up your leg. How did that come about, and what's going through your mind when that happens?
Well, it wasn't just a singular cockroach. Okay. It was multitudes. This was a house much like I grew up in, and we had all of a sudden 19-degree weather in this small, small house down in the deep south. And they had a space heater going in there. And so I'm sitting on a couch. It's a nice piece of furniture, but it's covered in plastic to protect the cloth. And I'm starting to sweat. And every bug in that neighborhood has come into that warmth. And they are now crawling up my pants leg. I'm trying not to look at them, you know, because they're on the floor. They're on this particular piece of furniture. And I'm the only one there. I felt like I was in a Richard Pryor story, if you know anything about Richard Pryor. I didn't know where Miss Rudolph or who was getting ready to come out the back room and put some voodoo on me. But that was maybe the worst one by far. And by the way, I wished I would have been in Harold Landry's house and bitten by his dog. I would have taken that to get Harold Landry, believe me.
Yeah, right. Good, good dude. A great, great player. Yeah, he's something else. A final thought, and I've got about a minute left, but that mention of hunger. I mean, this is a guy with two Super Bowl rings and nearly 50,000 passing yards. He doesn't have to do the kind of work that he does in the offseason with you. What's it say about him that he does?
Well, he is an amazing, the family. Let me just start with Archie and Olivia, and but you know, it's you never get satisfied. I mean, he loves to compete, and if you're a true competitor, you want to be your best. And I'm going to tell you now, I pray he stays healthy. He's throwing the ball better right now. His strength, his quickness, his hand quickness, all of those things we work on are just absolutely on fire right now. I was really happy for him when he was in here, and I just pray that he can be protected and stay healthy, and it all works out. He's got some good players around him in that skill position. I don't know a lot about their line, but they've got some people right now.
He is the head football coach at Duke. He's entering his 10th season there, and Duke is going to open up against North Carolina Central on September 2nd. David Cutcliffe, my guest. David, so good to get caught up, and always nice to visit with you. Thanks so much for it.
Jim, you're always welcome to make a stop in at Duke anytime.
Let's go to Iray instead. Iray, what's going on? How are you?
Roby, I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Everything's great here, Iray. You know that. All good.
Right on. I just pushed away from the keyboard, man. I'm finishing up my epic tome autobiography, and I'll be getting that into your hands soon, buddy. But before I have a take on the McGregor-Mayweather fight, but before I do that, obviously I got to talk a little bit about the Dodgers, who have lost 10 times in the last 76 days. That is ridiculous. And, Romy, though I could not caution all, I still might warn a few that when it comes to the back of the Dodgers rotation, no one is going to be able to hang with those dudes. No one. I mean, you might get a Scherzer in the, you know, to open up this series against Kershaw. We might lose one. But when it comes to 2, 3, 4, 5, no competition. Also, I don't know if you got out to the track Saturday, Romy, to see Arrogate get beat again. That track is just his poison. It's his kryptonite. I don't know what the heck is wrong with that horse over that surface, but he just doesn't seem to handle it. And from my take on the Mayweather-McGregor fight, now, depending on how much Floyd Mayweather loves money or his reputation more, Romy, I could see the fix being in on this thing where Floyd would agree to be knocked out to cash another $100 million paycheck for the rematch. Now, it might be a little far-fetched, I can see it happening considering the IRS is breathing down this guy's neck. So consider that, clones. I'll talk to you soon, Romy. Yep.
Iray, make sure you get that autobiography in my hands as quickly as you can, Iray. Brian in Maine. Hey, Brian, good to have you on the show. How are you?
No, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a 37-year martial artist in Shotokan karate, and, you know, a Floyd-Connor situation is going to be really a simple situation. First of all, Connor is a type of guy that's going to play the games. He's going to get him intimidated. This thing is not going to go more than a round or two. Connor's going to take Floyd down so fast and furious, and it's just because you just don't put a boxer against somebody with that kind of mentality. The training that these guys have is just immensely different than the boxer. So, you know, I don't have a lot of money. Hell, I don't have much money at all, but I'm going to say one round to two rounds, Connor's taking Floyd to the mat.
Well, he's taking him to the mat or he's going to knock him out. There's a difference because he can't go to the mat.
No. Let's not confuse. I'm not talking about using, you know, MMA. He's going to knock him out.
Okay.
This is a TKO or a knockout in a couple rounds.
Thank you very much for listening. And here is another reminder. Stay on the lookout for the Jim Rome podcast. It drops next week on iTunes, Google, and anywhere else you can download podcasts. Until then, do what you do. Hit subscribe, tell a friend, and trust the podcast. Check back tomorrow for more Daily Jungle.